Good morning. This is the Blaine's World webcast that can be found each week on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And you get more information at our website, which is behind me, blainesworld.net. I'm your host, Blaine Greenfield, and I'm here in my Zoom studio in lovely downtown Fairview, North Carolina. Each week, we focus on positive news and information about people and organizations in both Western North Carolina and throughout the country. And toward that end, it's my pleasure to introduce Alyssa Hamilton and Jenna Wexler with Nuthatch Garden Services. And folks, you can wave to all your fans and friends who are watching this. So if you're watching this, that's Alyssa and her partner in crime, Jenna. And I want to give a special thank you to Jenna, because Jenna just got lassoed into this, I think, at the last minute. We were going to have somebody else, but you're laughing, Jenna, but she chickened out, so we got you. So thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. She mentioned that Lisa's over 15 years experience in horticulture and landscaping. She began her career working at greenhouses in Ohio, where she lived before moving to Asheville in 2016. She is a prolific home gardener and plant enthusiast. And I'm at a disadvantage, Jenna. I don't know your background. So just, if you can, in maybe 2 or 3 hours or less, if you can just give your background. But what's your background?
Definitely. So I've been landscaping since 2017. And before that, I spent a lot of many seasons working on small intensive vegetable operations in Connecticut, where I'm from originally, and then in Vermont, where I was living for a long time.
Now, let me ask the both of you. So when you were growing up, so you mentioned where you grew up. Alyssa, you grew up where?
Mostly in Ohio.
Okay. And did you know, as a woman, young woman growing up in Ohio, that you always wanted to be a gardener and being in this field?
Not necessarily. I always had an interest in the plants and the garden, but I don't think it ever occurred to me. Well, it didn't for a long time occur to me that it could be a profession.
And when did it occur to you that it would be a profession?
When I was looking for a job, when I started my freshman year of college, I drove past a nursery and I stopped by and asked if they were hiring, and they gave me a job, and I worked there for 8 different spring seasons. And I loved it so much. And I graduated college and then realized I wanted to go down a different path. So that was it, basically.
And when you graduated college, what was your major in college?
I was a art major.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a shift from that. And
yeah.
to, which is really cool. What gave you the idea to then start your own business?
I had a lot of friends who were encouraging me to branch out a little bit more. I worked at a larger landscape company when I first moved to Asheville. For the first 2 years I was here, I worked for a company, and I had a couple of small opportunities kind of pave the way to opening bigger doors for myself on my own. And that's where that all started, just with a couple of clients.
Very cool. And Jen, the same question. When you were a child growing up, did you always know you wanted to be in this industry?
Not at all, honestly. No, I really didn't grow up in a very outdoorsy family. And so I really didn't spend a lot of time outside until my senior year of high school. I did an internship on an organic farm in my town, and that since then it just kind of hooked me. Growing food was really like incredible to me, and I've always really loved to cook. So being a part of the like beginning stages of the food was definitely special, and that's kind of where I got on the trajectory of starting to look more deeply into ornamental plants and not just edible plants. But it was definitely the farming that like brought me into the ornamental world.
And what was cool, I guess you were kind of in the right place at the right time, because with Nuthatch, you've only been there about a year or so. Is that correct?
Yeah, about 8 months.
But that's really, I mean, what a great opportunity for somebody who's interested in this field. It must have just been very exciting for you to come on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm really grateful for Alyssa that she sees something in me, and then she sees that I can kind of have some more autonomy, because I, like I said, I've been working in this industry for a long time, but kind of feel like I'm going from 0 to 60 with jumping into a place where I have a lot more of, I am making a lot more decisions for myself, and really my own boss in a lot of ways, which is really cool.
Now, Nuthatch, you're doing a bunch of things. Is that correct? Where
Yes, yeah.
no, I'm talking. Yeah, to Jenna, you do a bunch of. You wear several different hats.
Yeah,
Yeah. What
definitely.
else do you do?
So the office manager side of things, I'm in touch with a lot of our clients, and I'm invoicing, and I'm also doing the bookkeeping, and kind of helping Alyssa out with a lot of the, office things that are at the back side of, taxes and all those things, which is very, very new to me. We're going out and meeting with clients, and then we're working on estimates and designs together. So a lot of different things, pretty much every aspect of the business, we're all kind of involved in, and
And it's cool that
a lot of fun.
apparently you're involved in a lot of stuff that you had no background in. You had a background in the plants, but to do all of a
Right.
sudden be an accountant, congratulations.
Thank
And listen, to your credit, which is kind of cool. So this is, you have four people working for you, and we'll give a shout out to the other folks. And it's also, I guess, an all woman owned or all woman run business. Is that it? Is that by
Yes.
design or just worked out that way?
It kind of just has worked out this way,
Okay.
not necessarily by design.
Okay. So aside from Jenna, who are the other two women who work with you? Can you?
We work with Gwen Hill and Jessica Penland. That's our group of four, and we're
Okay.
small but mighty.
Okay, I like that. And hopefully you get along well, it seems like, which is kind of important. So talk a little bit, Alyssa, if you would, I'm sorry, about. Then what do you folks do? Like, what's your business all about? So you're in the landscaping business. Who do you serve or who do you help?
For the most part, we do garden maintenance, whether it's we go to a property once a month, twice a month, a few times a year. Just people who either don't have time to take care of their gardens, or they got in over their head and they need help. That's most of our clientele. We do some special projects and jobs where we'll call them one-offs, where we just go in and we do a makeover, or we solve a problem for them, and we may or may not hear from them again, but it's always a new project like that.
Now talk about, I'm trying to think in terms of how we use our landscaping help. So you actually do the lawn maintenance and mow lawns and that kind of stuff?
Lawns is actually the one thing we don't really
Okay.
dabble in.
And tell me what you do dabble in.
We will install plants, we will maintain plants, we'll do garden designs, we move plants that need to find a new home, like transplanting, removal of things that are dead or too old or big for what the area that they're in. We keep things tidy. We pull a lot of weeds. A lot of it is a little monotonous sometimes, but yeah, there's things that people want to see done.
Are there things that people ask you, and this is what I would be asking you if you were taking care of our garden, that people say they want you to take care of it all. They don't want to do anything. In other words, I just want you to plant the stuff and then maintain it. Is that possible to do?
Just plant it, and then
No,
we maintain it, or nobody
no,
does.
you maintain it. Do you
Oh
maintain
yeah.
In other words, I don't even want to water. Is there stuff, do people come to you and say they don't want to water, or are there some plants that are good without any water?
People definitely ask that. People ask for a low maintenance or a no maintenance garden, and in my opinion, there's no such thing. But maybe low maintenance, but not no maintenance. Something always needs to be done.
Well, what I like, though, I would say if you're working for me, I have no problem with low maintenance or high maintenance, but I like calling it you maintenance, so you do it, But are there people like me that love gardens, but they don't want to do the maintenance? That's
Oh,
what they want from you.
absolutely.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
that can be done. Are there, let's talk a little bit then. Somebody wants to use your services. What do? You sit down with them and then determine what they want and then kind of come together with a plan?
Yeah, we usually take a walk around their property, and I like for them to tell me what they want to see. What do they want to see stay the same? What do they want to see change? What would they like to see? And go from there. Decide how long it's going to take, how many hours, how many people. And then we make an estimate up for them, send it over, and let them decide if they want to go with us or not.
Now, it's something people ask, whilst I'm kidding you about no maintenance, or not me doing maintenance. What about is something people say, I just want like a lot of color in my garden? Is that something that people ask for?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Those are some of the best gardens to work
what, they want a lot of color in?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned that in terms of best gardens to work in. What makes a garden a best garden to work in?
For me, and this might not be for everybody,
Sure.
things that are changing all the time, and it might some people might enjoy a space that is a little more peaceful and just monochromatic in a way, but I really enjoy a wild garden and chaotic colors, and it's exciting, I guess. So.
Nice. Generally, the same question. In terms of the garden, what kind of garden do you like walking in or looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I love your answer, Alyssa. Like that garden that is changing and that is kind of like dragging your interest throughout the season. That's always really fun. And I love a full garden with a lot of plants and also a garden with a lot of butterflies and insects, I mean, since we get right down in the dirt, it's really nice when there's a lot of diversity and a lot of, interesting things to enjoy all year round.
It's interesting what you said in terms of butterflies. Are there certain plants folks that can use or choose that would get more butterflies than others? Is that possible to actually attract butterflies to a garden?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Like, what would you do, for example?
Well, native plants to start out with, things that have that belong in this country, that have always been here and have grown with the rest of the environment. And they support insects and wildlife and vice versa.
How about how folks come to you, and I imagine they do, they want a garden to raise vegetables in. Do you do that also?
Yeah, I'll let Jenna take that
Okay, Janet,
one.
it's all yours.
Yeah, we definitely do. We have a lot of experience of our whole crew has a lot of experience growing vegetables, and we've built raised beds for people, and we are really interested in expanding that aspect of our business, helping people grow edibles that they can harvest, or harvesting things for them that they can enjoy throughout
For
the
example,
season.
in this area, the weather we have here, what are some vegetables that grow well in West North Carolina?
So many vegetables. I mean, tomatoes are great, and asparagus is wonderful in the spring. And we can pretty much grow things like spinach and kale for most of the year. So those are really awesome. peppers, eggplants, really anything you want can be grown.
I can see just in your smile, which I kind of love, about the fact that when you help somebody grow something and then they actually grow it and eat it, it must be kind of an exciting thing to see people realize that there's something you can do with the garden.
Absolutely.
Is this sometimes you see, Alyssa, is this sometimes you see this for the first time that people have, like, I guess they come to you and people tell you, I can't grow anything or I'm very bad at, this. Do you sometimes see
Yeah.
that they can change?
We do hear that all the time, but people usually aren't as bad at it as they think they are. It's also just, it's really exciting, like for gardens that have a lot of flowers. Sometimes people need to just a little encouragement. Like we'll go out and we'll collect flowers from their garden and bring them a bouquet, and they're so excited about it. And just tell them, hey, these are here for you to enjoy. Don't be afraid to cut some as well. And it gets them out there. They're able to experience the butterflies flying around and the birds. And it is nice when people start realizing the things that are involved in the garden.
Now, Jen mentioned she got into this kind of late. She got into high school, I think you mentioned. When did you start as a child? Were you, Alyssa, into gardening and plants and flowers?
I wouldn't say I was so into gardening. My family moved around a lot, so we didn't really have, we rented different homes throughout my growing up, so we rarely lived anywhere where we had time for a garden. But when we'd go visit my great grandmother, she would always walk us around her garden, and it was just something special. And it's something that I do when my family comes to visit me now. Like we'll take a walk around and see what the season has to offer us this time, and it's just always exciting.
I guess it must be exciting for other people to see it. Like I said, you live it every day, I guess. But for people who never see it or live it or taste it, it must be kind of fun to watch them.
It is,
And
yes.
so right now, for example, and I'll ask both of you, forgetting the company itself, but individual homes, what are you growing now, for example? Alyssa, then I'll ask Jenna the same question. Are you growing anything now?
Yeah. Well, right now we're seeing snowdrops popping up, the beginnings of daffodils. The snowdrops actually have flowers on them now, or they're starting to. Hellebores are starting to open.
Witch hazel's got some buds on it.
Yes, that's right, the witch hazels and Edgeworthia flowers are really starting to clump up. They're
What about vegetables?
well, I have some kale. It's a little bit munched on by something. So there's not much left of it, but I think I've had kale all through the winter before. It does pretty well for the
And
most
your
part.
cilantro looks really good right now.
Yeah, that's true. It's amazing,
And
actually.
your Burnett, right? Salad
Oh,
Burnett
yes.
looks so
Yes.
good.
And you mentioned something because we had a problem at our house that our flowers were rabbits, I think, were getting at our flowers or somebody was getting at them. How do you deal with that problem?
I personally don't really do that much about rabbits in my yard. I have had frustrating moments with the rabbits, and the groundhogs, as much as I also enjoy them. And I found that eventually things kind of take care of themselves. Like one year, I really felt like they were eating all of my echinacea, and every time it would come up, they would just mow it back down to the ground. And I still had a few bloom, and now they've reseeded and they come up all over the place. And it doesn't matter if they're eating a few plants down to the ground any longer, because there's enough to feed them on a regular basis. So they don't have to eat everything. There's an abundance now.
Where do moles fit into the picture?
Moles. Moles are a problem that a lot of people have,
I
unfortunately.
I've had them. That's why I asked. Yeah. Can you do anything about it?
I know that people do various things. We do not put poisons out or anything like
Good.
that. There are certain products that I think the castor bean that is a big one for moles and voles as a repellent. They're like granular products that people will sprinkle out into their holes and stuff like that. But again, everything that I've read is kind of their populations will fluctuate. And if you can make it through those fluctuations, then you'll probably end up all right, and most of your landscape will make it. But I know they are frustrating.
And I guess the other problem people have, as you were saying, with the weather can, throw havoc into it in terms of like getting ready for the spring. Talk about that process. You're advising me or advising a client. What should you be doing, I guess, now or next month or two to get ready for the spring?
So we're doing all of our transplanting now, and we're putting out mulch now. While everything's cut, like getting cut back, or things have died back to the ground, it's a lot easier to put mulch out. And it's heavy lifting that we'd rather do when it's cold than in July. So,
Oh, really? Yeah.
yes. We're
And the
also, go for it. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that the mulch is also, a layer of insulation that is really helpful for the plants. So I was actually reading recently that roots can grow during the winter as long as the ground isn't frozen. So if there's leaf mulch or if there's, wood chip mulch on your garden beds, you're allowing your plants to like grow stronger and more robust even in the winter, which is kind of amazing.
And as you're saying, you talk about the mulch, and Alyssa alluded to it too. But I guess that's another advantage to working for the firm, in that you don't have to join a gym, I guess, in the winter, especially. And that
Exactly.
mulch is pretty heavy, right? Or no?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are lugging that around and planting that as well. Out of all the stuff you do, I'll ask both of you the question: is there a favorite thing you do in terms of working? At the firm. Is there a particular activity you like best?
That for me is a very tough one because I really like
Uh-huh.
every season I'll be doing some activity that I'm like, oh, I've missed this because the tasks change according to the season. And it's really nice. It is just like the weather, right when summer becomes unbearable, it's time for the fall, like some reprieve from the heat. I feel like we go through that, our bodies go through that with the jobs we have for the season. So it's nice that it changes every few months for us.
In general, I ask the same question. Is there any one thing that you like doing best? Aside from,
Well,
excuse me, aside from accounting, right?
right.
You love the
My favorite part.
accounting.
Well, honestly, I do love mulching because I love to move around, especially when we have been a little more sedentary in the winter months. So that's really wonderful. And I love pruning too, which also happens in the winter, for the most part. So, yeah, winter gardening is really fun, and it gives you something to get excited about for the rest of the year. So,
How
but
about
I like it.
your role as teachers? In other words, do you have a lot of people such as yours truly who know like less than anything about gardening? Do you enjoy working with people like that and showing them maybe a little something that they could learn?
Yeah,
Yeah,
we
we love
definitely
doing
do.
that. I mean, does it bother you that some people know less than nothing about the subject?
Not at all.
No.
We actually have part of what we do is we have a consulting opportunity for people that are really interested in starting to do their own work in the gardens. There are some people that are like, we want to pay you to do it, and that's great. And And that is great. And then there are some people that are like, you know so much, and I would love if you could teach me how to do this for myself. And we love working with those people too. And that's definitely an option. When you contact us, we love when we get to be in the garden with homeowners. That's really fun because, it's really nice to see someone get excited about their space, especially when that's, something that they haven't had the opportunity to do before. But yeah, we love to teach people and see that, like, that light bulb kind of turn on for them, like it did for us. How truly fascinating it is to be outside.
Even as you're saying it, sounds it to me, it would be kind of very exciting, that if I had never done this before, and all of a sudden to be able to do it, and then to have the first, I guess, flower grow or the first vegetable grow or something that you were involved in, it must be kind of cool,
It's, yeah, it's very
have it
sweet.
the first time. What do you folks see? So we're moving into, let's see, it's losing track of time here. We're just into now, we're going to go into February, right? So what should people be doing now in terms of both working with you and then themselves getting ready for the spring? What are the activities they should be doing?
Right now, we are encouraging people to think about what plants they want to put in the spring. Like, this is the time of the year where we get all of our designs done so that once the plants become available, we're able to start getting those in the ground. We are also moving all the plants until it gets hot out. Anything that needs to find a new spot in the garden should be moved before we get into really any hot weather. But we're also doing some plans for workshops coming up this next year. We're trying to be more involved in the community, and when I say workshops, I mean it could be anything like how to build a pollinator garden. Like, how are we going to go about that? Or what kind of plants do you want to grow to attract more songbirds, or think different things like that. So,
Now, do you have an actual facility or where you would do these workshops, or they come to see you, or you go to people's places?
we have not yet done any workshops, but we're really excited to start with them. We rent a greenhouse at Smith
Gotcha.
Millworks, and we're really enjoying being there. It's kind of a little community itself.
So you'll be doing some workshops. And you'll do them, your plan is to do them in person or Zoom, or how do you plan to do them?
I think we'd like to do them in person.
Okay. And how can folks also, like I've type flower, I like, for example, sunflowers, right? Do sunflowers last all year? Or is there a certain time you can grow sunflowers?
I think you can grow them for most of the spring, summer, and fall. They won't, some of the varieties will have multiple blooms, but some are just one big bloom, like the ones that people think of when they think of sunflowers. They're a giant stalk with one big flower on
Right, that's
the
yeah.
top. Those you'd want to plant like multiple times if you want them to bloom, if you want to see them for a long time. So plant some seeds, and then in another 10 days, pop a few more in among the ones you already planted. And I think you could do that many times throughout the season.
Some plants, this shows what I know about plants and flowers, but do some last like all season or for 3 months, 6 months? Do some last the whole season?
I think for the most part, it's annuals that will last the longest through the season, and that's why they are annuals for the most part. They bloom excessively for half of the year here, basically. I mean, also they're not necessarily cold hardy, but I don't know, Jenna, can you think of anything else that might flower all summer?
I mean, there are definitely plants where you're getting multiple blooms from them, like geranium is a great example.
That's a good one. Yeah.
But there are definitely, like, most of your perennials are going to have a period of bloom time, and it's possible to get a second bloom out of them. But that's why we really like to encourage diversity, not only because it's great for wildlife and for the ecosystem, but also because it gives you flowers all year round. It gives you a bunch of different things to enjoy.
What do you do if there's going to be a cold stretch? In other words, you hadn't counted on it. All of a sudden, it gets very cold after you planted everything and it's growing. How can you deal with that? What do you do?
A lot of people will, you'll see it. You'll see when you'll just walk down the sidewalk and people will have every sheet in their house covering their hydrangeas in their front yard. That is effective. It is also really difficult to get it out there in time. We certainly can't make it to like all over Western North Carolina to cover up everything for people, but it is effective if it happens.
Okay, and that's something I never realized that they just take old sheets and just put them out there,
Oh,
cover the
they'll take
plant.
anything.
Yeah, grow the plants as
Yeah.
well. If folks want to support ecological health in there, it's a great term, but what do you call ecological health? And then talk about how to support it.
So for me, the ecological health would mean kind of all the different elements of the garden. Like there's kind of a misnomer that when people see something eating on one of their plants, they see holes in the leaves, something's eating it, there's a problem, how do we fix it? And it's not necessarily the mentality we like to have about it, because the plants that we're planting are food. Like, we plant the milkweed to be food and a host for the monarch butterfly. So you want to see something eating that, because that's what it's there for. Things like that. We try to minimize the amount of pest control we do. We look for the beneficial insects that might be natural predators for insects that might be eating people's plants. And we see ladybugs or ladybug larvae. They're really great natural predators. So we encourage people to use the sprayer minimally in those situations, because you're not just affecting the insects that you want to stop, you're also affecting the ones that are feeding on those.
A bunch of years ago, a buddy of mine who was in the restaurant industry was big into edible flowers, and you don't seem, it was like popular for a while, but you don't seem much about that anymore. Are there edible flowers out there? Are people still into that at
Yeah.
all?
I think there are, but there are so many edible flowers. Jenna actually has expanded my knowledge on the edible flowers so much the last couple of years.
Well, for example, Jenna, what are edible flowers?
So one of my favorites, which isn't a native, but dandelions are edible and they're everywhere, so they're really accessible edible flowers. And you can also eat the leaves and the roots. The whole plant is edible. But nasturtium is a really popular one. It's also an annual. And that's one that people grow a lot specifically to eat. And you could also eat the leaves. But then, I mean, there's lavender, which you can put on your salads or on top of cakes or in a tea. And it's there's really zinnias are edible too. That's one of my favorites, because it really surprises people because they're everywhere. And they're huge, but yeah, there's a lot of options. But just do the research and I'm sure you'll find something in your yard that you can eat.
Have you done that?
Snacks everywhere.
Have you eaten plants,
Yeah.
flowers? By the way,
Yeah.
Alyssa, we're talking, and seriously, I think that'd be a fun workshop to do. There are people who'd be interested in
That's a
that
great idea.
come to workshop or come to you folks and talking about edible flowers and actually have them eat the flowers or something. I think that'd be a fun thing to do.
Oh yeah, I love
As
that.
a kind of final question here, let me ask you this question. If folks who are listening or watching this, are interested in things they can do to become, I guess, everyone wants to support the environment and support wildlife. Maybe I'll have you both take, give me one thing people should be doing or could be doing. Can you think of something that people could do?
I guess if I have to pick one thing, this is a little bit of a spread out one, but I guess just be aware and be observant, and that's multifaceted there, because if you're looking at what's around you and at what the effects you're having on those things are, and just being aware of the plants you're putting in the ground, whether they're invasive or they're natives, just being aware of all of those things and doing your best to have good effects on the plants and animals around you. And I think that overall for me would be one of the most important ones.
Aside from attending a workshop that you folks may or may not offer in the future, how do folks get smart about this whole field? Do they read about it? They look at YouTube videos, or what's the best way to somebody to pick up knowledge?
There are so many ways. I feel like this kind of thing is becoming more and more prevalent, whether I see it when I'm scrolling on Instagram, and I mean, Asheville is just abundant with this kind of with opportunities to learn more about this sort of thing.
And I'll ask the same thing to Jen. How do you get smarter about this whole field?
I personally, I mean, I've been learning about this for a really long time, reading books and finding people that I'm really interested in learning more deeply from. But I think podcasts are a really accessible way for people to start learning about plants, because it's something that you could do while you're doing the dishes or while you're gardening, which is definitely something that we do. But there's a lot of podcasts that just like search gardening, and you'll hit something that will give you great information and a good place to start for sure.
What's interesting to me about the discussion in the field as well, it also seems to be a very sharing field. In other words, that people who are gardeners seem to want to share their information or knowledge with other people, which is kind of cool when you think about it. You find that also?
Yes.
So, and toward that end, let me ask, I guess, Alyssa. So folks want to find out about you folks and what you do and when you're available to reach your nursery or your business, best bet is to do what?
Probably visit our website, or if you Google Nuthatch Garden Services, we have a Google profile. Nuthatchgardenservices.com is our website, and we have a Facebook and an Instagram, which are both Nuthatch Garden Services.
Okay. And
I
so that's
think
best.
I've covered everything.
Okay, but that's best bet to reach you folks through those sources. And what describe then what happens? So if I hear the show, I'm interested in somebody helping me with my gardening, I then email you, call you, make an appointment. What happens at that point in time?
We're very responsive to emails, and we get more emails than calls. We would be responsive to calls, but most people, I think they're able to get more into the email and maybe communicate what their needs are in a way. It's also easier to, or we will set up a calendar date to meet and walk around their garden and go from there. So
Okay, I guess
yes,
that's
we're, yeah.
the best bet is to have you come out or somebody else from your firm and just look at what I have and then see what you can do and make recommendations. Is that how it typically works?
Absolutely, we need to see what's going on before we make any promises, or we got to be aware of anything that might hang us up, or be per anything we might need to be prepared for, yeah.
Okay, I guess as you said, the reality you can prepare all you want, but other things are going to happen beyond your control. You were talking about
Yeah.
animals and weather and all sorts of stuff like that. I would like to thank Alyssa Hamilton and also Jenna Wexler. pinch hitting at last minute, Jenna, thank you very much, with Nuthatch Gardening Services. And once again, Alyssa, give me the website, please.
Yeah, it's nuthatchgardenservices.com.
Okay. And very cool business. You know, I wish I'd met you 5 years ago before we did our first garden. You could have helped.
Oh.
But anyway, thanks, guys. And I'll hopefully bump into you someplace, somewhere in the future. Thanks.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Okay. And I'll just sign off here and stay with me.